Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Combo Breaker 99. I'm back with another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. Like I said, I'm going to try to get this thing on schedule with episode Tuesday and Thursday. You know, this past Thursday, I did the boxing episode, but this Friday, I'm going to do the women's MMA episode, and then I'll try to get it up to speed next week, hopefully. Don't hold me to that. You know, the schedule stay booked, so I'm going to try to get that on, try to get it right as possible. But just make sure y'all subscribe, you know, as long as you like the content and the videos I drop, you know, I keep on doing them. But yeah, last night I did an episode on, you know, a couple of, you know, big things going on in boxing. So you can check that out, you know, if you are a boxing fan. But yeah, if you're a women's MMA fan, I'm going to be dropping some good stuff today, man. And last night we had a good card, Invicta FC 41. You know, they closed in this month out with another card. They started the month out with a good card and they ended it with a good card. Originally, there were supposed to be six fights scheduled, but one of the fights got scrapped. I think Kelly D'Angelo was on that fight, and I can't remember who she was supposed to fight, but that got scrapped. And then another fight, Stephanie Geltmacher was supposed to fight Blanchfield, I think, but she had to pull out of the fight. So Blanchfield wound up fighting Brogan Sanchez. You know, so yeah, there was some, you know, rearrangements around here on the card, but it overall turned out to be a good card. You know, for five fights, you know, we had, you know, a variety of fighters here. You know, we had fighters making their debut. We had fighters making their comeback. You had veterans on the card. You had top prospects on the card. So that's the good thing about these Invicta cards. You get a little of everything. You get former top contenders from the UFC. Then you got fighters on their way to the UFC or Bellator. So you're getting a little bit of everything. You know, fighters making their pro debut. So different levels, you know, the opening show is good all the way up to the main event. And I'll just go down the list of fights, you know, give you all the results on those and how they went. First up was Natalia Spies versus Alexa Colt. Shout out to Natalia Spies. You know, she's a cool fighter. I got an interview and, you know, she was ready to make her debut and, you know, make a big statement. But so was Alexa Colt, you know, and unfortunately, Alexa Colt was able to come away with the second round submission win over Natalia Spies to start off her debut right. You know, both fighters making their debut. Real quick, you know, coming into this fight, you know, of course, Spies definitely wanted to use that experience, but Cup came in with the game plan and she was able to execute it. Looking at the first round, you know, Spies was opening with some aggressive kicks, but Cup, she was able to catch one of the legs and get the takedown and pass the guard. And as Spies was trying to get back to her feet, Cup was able to get on the back with the body lock. And when she got that body triangle, you know, she was able to control the majority of the round here. Like, not a lot of action going on, but there was a lot of hand fighting where Cup was just trying to get from side to side and really trying to get that rear naked choke on Spies because Spies was locked up with the triangle. But Spies fought it off well. You know, she was able to fight it off for like 2 or 3 minutes and then get out of it by the end of the round. But Cope was still fighting for that position to get to the back. Going into the second round, Spies started off with the pressure again, but Cope got into that clinch to try to smother that mid-range work. And when she was applying that pressure, Spies was on the fence, but I feel like she was fighting off the takedown well with some good knees. And this is where Spies looked impressive. You know, she looked impressive in the clinch. You know, she was able to fight off the takedown, where when Cope was trying to get low to get the legs, Spies was just moving along the fence to make it difficult. And when she broke, Spies was throwing some good knees, but she got tripped up and unfortunately wound up on her back again. And Colt got into that half guard position. But in that half guard, Spies made a bit of an error there where she kind of rolled to her right. And Colt, she rolled right into Colt's like grip of transition into her back. You know, at the same time, while she rolled, she was just able to get right on Spies' back and once again lock up and try to get that rear naked choke. And Cope's leg was wrapped around the right leg of Spies, really making it difficult for her to move. And then she was just able to lock the left arm right up under the neck of Spies. And as she locked in slowly, Spies had to tap because there's really no getting out of that because she had to control of her leg and she already had her arm under that under the neck, so she had to submit. But yeah, it was a good debut for Alexa Colt. But yeah, shout out to Natalia Spies. Like I said, I want to see her come back and get stronger. definitely can't count a fighter out when they lose their first fight. You know, Chelsea Chandler, she's been there before. Chris Cyborg's been there. You know, that's just how it goes. You know, when the fighter's making a debut, there's got to be a winner and there's got to be a loser. But that's your first fight. That doesn't necessarily count you out. So definitely want to see Spieth come back, you know, and maybe on the next – not maybe not the next Invicta card, but the one after that, you know, or the one in September. You know, if she's ready to come back in September as well and, you know, and you know, go ahead and right that wrong, I'm cool with that too, you know, because hey, she's still fresh. She needs to, you know, go ahead and go in there and stay active. But, yeah, shout out to both ladies, you know, making the debut. Moving on to the next fight on the card. Now, this fight here, this is where it comes into play with judges sometimes. Like, it was a good fight, but sometimes the judges can really mess up a fight for you. The Caitlin Sammons and Claire Guthrie fight. I had Caitlin, well, they gave the fight to Caitlin Sammons by a split decision. Caitlin Sammons won this fight by split decision, but I thought that Claire Guthrie was on her way to actually winning a unanimous decision. But I guess it all comes down to, it's just one of those frustrating times when it's almost like the punches and the strikes and the measuring of range and, you know, dictating the pace of like boxing and striking, it never equals out to like what a takedown does, you know, because I felt like Claire Guthrie was really fighting a smart fight in the beginning of this one, all the way up to the second round. She was really utilizing her reach well and her height. She was using knees on the inside well. You know, she was fending off from takedowns at times. It wasn't till the last round that Sammons really turned it on and came away with the dominant round. Like, the dominant round for Sammons was in the third round, but the judges actually were seeing it different with that open scoring. That's why you see that open scoring. It was kind of like, you know, I know that it was probably a little bit frustrating to Guthrie whenever you see that, because you see it and you're like, damn, I'm two rounds behind. How? You know, when it went into that third round and I just saw that she was two rounds down, I was like, wow, I thought that Guthrie was winning this fight, you know, because she was doing so much more. So you're kind of – it's kind of good to have that open scoring, because you can kind of see where you're at and you can kind of see where you have to crunch down. Like, I thought she was comfortable. She probably thought she was comfortable. But when you see that, then you got to be like, oh, hell no, like, I don't know what these judges are doing. It can kind of change your mind. It should change your mindset to be a little bit more like, it's crunch time. I got to go for the home run. Like, I don't know what these judges are seeing or smoking, but it's time for me to jump on it and end this. So open scoring is a good thing, but at the same time, it was kind of pissing me off, because you're seeing it right away that, you know, the judges aren't really scoring this fight fair. You know what I mean? Like, other than that, open scoring makes sense, but if you go back and look in this fight from round one, I felt like Guthrie was really using her reach well, using the jab well. And, you know, in the clinch, she was landing the better strikes and had the better right hands landing. Now, Caitlin Sammons was establishing a good, like, kick to the ankles and, like, coming forward with some good pressure. But the overall volume work, to me, in the smarter fighting was dictated by Guthrie in the first round. Then into the second round, I felt like Sammons was trying to get into that clinch and control the fight, but still at the range, it was all Guthrie. You know, Guthrie was working knees on the inside, then going from the outside. She landed a good 1-2 a few times just to, like, dictate the pace. So when I saw that open scoring at the end of this round and one judge had it one round for Guthrie, one for Sammons, which I could kind of see maybe they did give that second round to Sammons, you know, because of the clinch work. But still, even in the clinch, I thought Guthrie was doing good. But then there was one judge that just had it a sweep up to that point for Sammons. I was like, what the hell are they seeing? You know, like, they didn't give Guthrie credit for anything she was doing. But going into that last round, that's where Sammons really turned the pressure on. You know, she turned that pressure on, got into the clinch, got into a takedown, and she controlled the majority of the round and just had Guthrie on her back and just was getting a lot of good ground and pound in here. You know, she got a lot of good ground and pound work and dominated that last round, which, you know, really made up for it, which to me would have got her rounds 2 and 3, you know, on that one judge's scorecard. But then, like, I think when she saw that open score, she just knew that I just got to close the show from here, you know. But to me, after that round, I still had it 2-1 for Claire Guthrie. I thought she won the first two rounds with a very cautious, smart fighting. But when it came to that third round, Caitlin Sammons definitely was dominant. in that last round. But again, man, I just thought that was pretty unfair, man. That one judge didn't give Claire Guthrie a single round. But hopefully she can come back and get a rematch, or, you know, it's like they say, you just got to finish a fight sometimes. You know, you can't leave it in the hands of the judges, you know. But overall, it was a good fight, but I just didn't, you know, when you see those judges sometimes, that just messes up the whole thing, man. But the third fight, Caitlin Young versus LaToya Walker. This was a comeback fight for LaToya after 4 years out of the game. Caitlin Young, you know, her last fight was in about 11 months ago. So it was more so just a layoff for her because of, you know, of course, inactive time with COVID-19. So she couldn't return to a fight right away. But right away, these two right here, they were just throwing down. They threw down some three solid rounds of just good stand-up fighting. You know, Caitlin Young, of course, she had the better striking, you know, the overall better Muay Thai, the better kicks, the better body kicks here, the better jab, the more volume work, the better work in the clinches. But, you know, LaToya Walker, she definitely showcased her her boxing ability and her ability to kind of slip punches in the beginning of the fight. You know, I think the inactivity definitely showed. It definitely showed in this fight because, 4 years off, that's a lot of rust to shake off. But she also showcased how tough she is, you know, very tough, very durable, very strong physically. She was able to take some of the hardest body kicks I've seen, the hardest leg kicks. She showcased a good chin. So if she can take another fight, maybe on the next card, and try to stay active and get back into shape, then I think, you know, LaToya Walker could definitely be a force. But overall, Caitlin Young definitely put on a good performance and won that unanimous decision. So definitely want to see both of these fighters back because, you know, again, LaToya Young, when she was active, LaToya Walker, she definitely put on some exciting fights for when she was active. Caitlin Young, and veteran in the game, definitely want to see her come back, you know, maybe get a title shot. If not a title shot, another top level featherweight fight. Co-main event, Aaron Blanchfield versus Brogan Sanchez. I just did a post-fight video talking about this fight. Very dominant, unanimous decision for Blanchfield. Like I was saying in my my post-fight analysis video, Blanchfield is a fighter to look out for. She's really mixing it up at this age, at 21. Like I said, it's scary because she has the ability to adapt. And she's trying her best to not be a one-trick pony. Like, she doesn't just want to be like a fighter known for her BJJ. You know, she wants to be known as a all-around, well-rounded fighter. You know, she wants to be known as a fighter who uses her IQ. Like, she's in there working on her weaknesses. You know, she's in there perfecting her craft, not just in training, not just in sparring, but when she goes into a fight, she's actually working on what you think she wouldn't use. You know, so when she's doing that, you're like, oh, wow, man, like, I didn't know she wasn't that good of a striker. You don't know that because she's in there scoring knockouts like Victoria Leonardo. She's being dominant on the ground with a ground and pound. So I think that's just something that a lot of people have to appreciate in a 21-year-old like Aaron Blanchfield. Overall, this fight, she dominated all three rounds. She was able to time the speed of Brogan Sanchez in the rounds with takedowns to look the most impressive and just dominate with the ground and pound, you know, and again, just kind of working on different things on the ground in this fight. So very impressive win for Aaron Blanchfield. Main event, his main event. I did a post-fight video for this. I'm uploading now, but Montserrat Ruiz versus Janessa Morandon. First round stoppage for Ruiz, which I did not see coming, man. Ruiz was really in here trying to make a statement, which she did. She applied the pressure on Morandon. Morandon was trying to establish a good striking distance in this fight. She was really trying to dictate it for him and keep her opponent off balance. But Ruiz, she showed her no respect. She never let her get into a groove. She came straight in like three times with some good arm rushes. And when she did that third time, got the reaction she wanted. She went in straight for the headlock and the body toss, tossed Morandon to the ground, locked the arm up, locked the head up, and was just letting shots go. Now, like I said in my post-fight, let me know in the comment section, but if you look at this fight, it almost looks like the way Morandon turned her body when her arm was locked up between the legs of Ruiz, like when she turned her body at an angle, she kind of twisted her own arm and almost looked like she submitted herself. Like, I don't know if it was the shots that made her tap, like as she was getting hit with some ground and pound to the head, like I just saw her tap, but at the same time, it was like the arm was twisted. So I thought when she turned at an angle, she twisted her own arm and submitted herself, but it was a solid win, solid dominant performance by Ruiz. From here, I'd like to see Ruiz in a fight with Emily Ducote, man. Like, that would be an action-packed fight. Emily Ducote, you know, she can throw hands. And this girl, she likes to come straight in, you know. And this type of wrestler with some striking game, with that type of striker, I think that would be a good fight for them. But, yeah, man, overall, it was a good card. All 10 ladies, you know, got to give them respect. All five fights, you know, offered something, you know. Unfortunately, one of them offered bad judging, which we always hate, you know. But overall, it was a good card. I think Invicta 42 will be back in like September 17th, something like that. So definitely looking forward to that card. But yeah, definitely check these fights out, man. You know, go look at them on UFC Fight Pass. You know, they always post like the replays on the same night, or, you know, the day after as well. So yeah, check them out, man. But yeah, overall, that was a good card. But this Saturday, we got JoJo Calderwood coming up versus Jennifer Maia. And did my prediction video for this, which I'm uploading as well. But I just wanted to, you know, say the one thing about this fight, you know, in this topic is that I understand that there's a big risk for JoJo going into this fight, you know, stepping in as a late replacement when you have a title fight lined up. But if JoJo waits for Valentina at this point, it'll be over a year and some change before her last fight. So I could definitely understand why JoJo is getting a little impatient here and feels like, you know, I'm getting a little rusty. I need to step in the octagon and do something, you know. I'm training and I'm staying active, you know, outside of the octagon as much as I can, but I really need to get a fight just to stay fresh, you know? So I definitely understand why when Viviana Rujo had to pull out of this fight, she accepted it. You know, she was like, hey, I'll take the fight, because my fight with Valentina was supposed to be in June. Valentina has to go and get surgery. She's pushing the fight back until then and not really sure when we're going to have the fight. So until then, she has to do something, you know, because it would be a lot more dangerous for her to just wait for almost like another 14-15 months off and then just jump in there with the Valentina fight. You know, I know everybody's counting JoJo out now anyway, but at least maybe with this fight, this can build up her confidence in some ways, and she can kind of work on different things in this fight against Jennifer Maia. Of course, Jennifer Maia is not a Valentina, but you can always kind of build your mental toughness up with this type of fight. You know, mental toughness is just as important as the physical. So JoJo taking this fight, it still makes sense for her because you still need money. You're a fighter, and that's how you're making money. You know, there's a point when mixed martial artists, when they leave that 9-to-5 job, and once they go off and make MMA their career, they really have to start looking at every penny, you know. They really start having to look at every penny, because there's some fighters who live fight to fight, you know. And in the meantime, they're still trying to make money on other avenues. And, you know, in JoJo's case, we don't know her financial status, you know, but waiting almost 14-15 months between a fight, that's, you know, that probably does have to hurt your pockets in some way. You know, that probably does have to hurt your pockets. So I can understand why she could say, hey, let me take this fight until then, because this is a bag. I know the Valentina fight is going to be a big bag, but let me get this bag, build that up. Maybe the fight will be a bigger bag at the end of the day, you know? So it's a smart move for JoJo. I mean, it's a risky move, but it's a smart move on her part to stay active. But yeah, I did my prediction on this, but I'll let y'all know here too. I'm going for JoJo in this fight. You know, I'm a fan of her, but I think she's going to be able to win this fight by unanimous decision. I think she's going to play it risky. I play it safe, not take too many risks. She's not going to be risky in this fight. You know, she's just going to use what she does, use her IQ, try her best to keep this standing. because she's the, to me, she is the better striker than Jennifer Maia. She will want to keep this fight at a distance because Jennifer Maia is probably going to try to make this a dog fight, make it a little ugly and get it to the ground. The fight will be 50-50 more so if it goes to the ground, even though JoJo has been working on a ground game. But if JoJo dictates the pace early, she could probably just secure a couple takedowns, get back up, you know, to make sure she wins the rounds, you know, just secure rounds with takedowns and then get back up and control the stand. So, yeah, I'm going to go with JoJo by unanimous decision for this one. But, yeah, let me know in the conversation what y'all think. I know some people already let me know they think that JoJo is ducking Valentina, or they think that she's setting herself up for failure by taking this fight. But I don't think so. I think this is just a stay busy fight for her. You know, look, Errol Spence is coming back in November against Danny Garcia. People complain about that fight, but I'm like, he's got to take that fight, man. Man, he just can't jump in there with a Manny Pacquiao or Terrence Crawford right away. You know, the guy's been off for a long time. So you got to take a fight that's going to, you know, shake out the rust and get your mind where it needs to be, you know, mental toughness, not just physical or, you know, that type of toughness. You gotta build that mind up too, you know, because, you know, fights, you get in the ring, get knocked down, they're way different than, you know, than the sparring sessions and the training sessions. What are you doing outside? You know, the pressure in the ring is a totally different thing. So, you know, I understand where JoJo's coming from. Got to stay active for that big fight. All right, moving on, we got another good set of fights that they are almost done making. I think they're pretty much solidified for October 17th. We got Pollyanna Bateo versus Jillian Robertson. Of course, that's going to be another flyweight fight. I like this matchup. Just another step in the right direction for Jillian Robertson to just kind of showcase more of her savage skills. You know what she's really been bringing to the table. Pollyanna Bateo, I think that 125 suits her more. You know, she's to compete at strawweight. But last time out, her last fight was against Lauren Mueller, I want to say. Lauren Mueller. And before that was a submission loss to Cynthia Calvillo. You know, Cynthia Calvillo, she's at 125 too now. So a lot of these fighters that were killing themselves to make 115 are, you know, getting into that 125 mix, where I think it suits their body frames a little bit more. Like, Pollyanna Bateo might be a little bit stronger here, but I think this is going to be another fight where Jillian Robertson, she's going to really go in there and showcase that wrestling, showcase that groundwork. Because Cynthia Calvillo, she was able to take Pollyanna Bateo to the ground and submit her, and I think that's where Jillian Robertson is going to want to be in this fight as well. Because Pollyanna Bateo, her stand-up is pretty good. You know, she's a strong fighter. She has some powerful leg kicks. You've seen them legs, man. She has a lot of power in those, and her striking is pretty decent. I think Jillian Robertson has enough to go head-to-head with her in striking a little bit. Like, if she wanted to work on the striking, this would be the fight to do so in. But if she wants to go in and make a statement and just take another name out, I could see Jillian Robertson just taking this fight to the ground and possibly getting a submission win as early as the first round, because I could see Jillian Robertson going straight in and just disrespecting the power of Pollyanna Bateo and taking it to the ground. But it's definitely a fight that I'd like to see, you know, because it will tell us, is this a good weight for Pollyanna Bateo, like, as far as weight-wise? Like, skill-wise is one thing, but weight-wise is another. Like, it could have been the weight that kind of threw off in the Cynthia Calvillo fight at 115, you know, when she was fighting at 115, that weight probably could have killed her. But now that she moves up, we'll see if she's stronger. Kind of like with Courtney Casey, you know, Courtney Casey, she looked strong against Barella, you know, but whenever she stepped it up against Jillian Robertson, that wrestling and that ground game was a totally different realm for it, no matter how big or how strong she got at flyweight. So we're going to see the same thing with Pollyanna Bateo going into this fight. So yeah, I like that matchup. You know, early prediction, I'm looking at Jillian Robertson, you know, having her way with Pollyanna Bateo on the ground and possibly getting a submission win. But the next fight I want to talk about real quick is two Jessicas fighting. We got Jessica Andrade taking on Jessica I, October 17th at 125. And my thoughts on this is, I like this matchup. because first off, you know, I feel like this is the weight where Jessica Andrade really needed to be in the beginning. You know, some people feel like she was a weight bully, and there were some times I kind of felt that way. I felt like, you know, she was a little too, almost felt like she was too strong for straw weight. But it, the fact that she wasn't technically sound is what kept her being good at bantamweight. Like, she could have been a bantamweight, you know, like she could have stayed at 135, but her technical skills weren't good enough to hold her own at 135, because there were bigger ladies there that could, you know, handle the slams and handle that physical work that she gives. So she moved down to 115 and had more of her way with the ladies at strawweight, if that makes sense. You know, that's what I kind of saw in the beginning. But Jessica Andrade, you know, she's on back-to-back. She's on a back-to-back losing streak right now against Weili Zhong and Rose Namajunas. And I think that she wants to take a stay active fight, you know, to kind of test the waters. You know, she wants to test the waters. Like, should I move up to 125 now and take my chances here? Or should I stay down here at strawweight? So, you know, this is just kind of a test fight for her, I think. You know, Jessica Eye, she's coming off a loss, dominant. She just got dominated. In my opinion, she got dominated by Cynthia Calvillo. Cynthia Calvillo just straight beat her, you know, beat her up. And I think her going in here against a physically strong opponent, this is going to be her time to try and look good with her striking, you know, look good with her ability to beat a physically strong fighter moving up, you know. But again, looking at Jessica Andrade, I think this is her chance to try to move up and take another title opportunity and another weight. Because like I said, she might feel like she's killing herself to make 115. And, you know, if she does that again, she might not be fit to fight Rose, or she might not be fit to fight Weili Zhong again. So there comes a point, you know, when you get older, that making that weight cut is going to be tough. You know, Joanna, I thought she was going to campaign at flyweight even after that first loss to Valentina, but she's still cutting down to 115 and she's killing herself. You know, she's not a small strawweight, and, you know, she's killing herself. So I could definitely see somebody that's kind of short, wide frame and thick like Jessica Andrade, like eventually having to move up to 125 and taking their chances there. But yeah, man, as we get closer to this one, I'll just like kind of break this fight down more so, because I think it's going to be an interesting style-wise fight. It's going to kind of turn into boxer versus wrestler in this fight. And we're going to see if the move up in weight benefits Jessica Andrade, and also the head movements and improvements she's been making. We're going to see if all that's going to, you know, come together at flyweight, or is it just going to make her slow and lethargic at flyweight, you know? And again, we're going to see where Jessica I stands. You know, if her skills ever catch up with her mouth, you know what I mean? So it's going to be an interesting one, October 17th. But yeah, man, final topic I had for this episode is I'm going to have to kind of revisit it. I'm just kind of freestyling it off the dome, because there's a lot of things that hit me about this fight. But it was a fight I kind of been thinking about even at work. Like, I'm always thinking about, like, different matchups. And a matchup I want to see in the strawweight division right now is, you can dislike this or not, you know, you can agree or disagree, but I want to see this fight, and that is Rose Namajunas, Carla Esparza, the rematch. I really want to see this rematch for several different reasons, because, for one reason, number one, we need to really kind of see this fight is to see where Carla and Rose are right now, truly in their career. You know, we really need to see, is Carla Esparza really at a point where she really feels like she's evolved? Has she really gotten to that point where she needs to be back in there with the elite fighters? And on the other side, Rose Namajunas, is she still elite? Has she really lost something in that last fight with Jessica Andrade? Both of them, you know, can she really perform to that level that she did whenever she fought Joanna two times? Can she still dig that deep? You know, and I think going in there with somebody like Carla Esparza is really gonna answer a lot of those questions again. Because if she has all that, then she's gonna say, "Hey, I'm not the same fighter you fought 6 years ago. I'm going to turn the tables on you. I'm going to avenge that loss and show you who I am. I'm going to show you I'm a totally different fighter this go round. And on this side, we got Carla saying, hey, I lost to the fighter you beat in Joanna, but since then, I've been evolving. You know, I've been putting everything together, becoming a better fighter. And I'm on a 4-fight win streak against these second-tier opponents. So my last fight out against Marina Rodriguez took her O. It's time for me to get back in there with the elite now, you know. And what better way to do that is with a Rose Namajunas rematch, because style-wise, I think, well, first off, we got Jessica Andrade. She's going to be moved up to 125, so that counts her out for Carla. Joanna and Carla, that rematch doesn't really make sense right now, and I think that's just a bad style matchup altogether. Tatiana Suarez, she's still out for an undetermined amount of time. We don't know when she'll come back. And then Nina Ansarov, she's out with a, you know, she's pregnant right now. And when she has the baby, I think she's going to return to 125. So who does that leave? Who else does that leave for Carla Esparza in the top five? Rose Namajunas. You know, I know Rose Namajunas is trying to get back in there for a title shot right now. You know, she wants to get back in there with Weili Zhong, but I really think it would be another good reason to take this fight is it would be good, be a good way to close this year out and save that fight for, you know, next year, 2021 at this point, because I feel like that would be a bigger fight, a bigger event if they, I'm not a big fan of marinating it, but I just feel like as far as building it up, you know, building Rose's mental stability and her mental strength up, you know, making sure that she's sharp for this fight, because going and back and looking at that rematch with Jessica Andrade, she showed improved and fought a lot off of heart. But as far as like skill wise, I think a lot of the things that she was doing in that fight would be, it would fall into play for Weili Zhong. You know, I think that Weili Zhong would be able to capitalize a lot off a lot of the mistakes that Rose Namajunas was making in that Jessica Andrade rematch. So I think that until then, like just to close the year out now, since the year is about over, a fight that would make sense and just to get them back in the octagon would be a fight with Rose Namajunas and Carla, you know? So it's just a good test to see where both of them are at, because again, there's nobody else in the top five in the, you know, as far as elite for her, for Carla to take, you know, with everybody going up to 120, possibly going up to 125, or, you know, other fighters just out of, you know, missing in action. Carla needs to be tested. And I think she needs that now, you know, just because she's getting better as a fighter. Fighters get older, you know, fighters get older as well. You know, they start to lose, you know, Father Time starts taking the legs away, starts taking those reflexes away. So even though she's getting smarter, she's getting, you know, add more to her arsenal, one day your legs could go. So now is the time for her to go back in there against a top five fighter. And it should just be Rose, in my opinion. You know, let's go ahead and get that, because Rose, again, looking at her in that rematch, she needs to sharpen up on some of her skills. You know, she really does, like, just really needs to sharpen the mind up and go back to working, you know, go back to working from the outside, not taking so many chances. And good style matchup. Like I said, I think this is a good style matchup, you know, versus like a Carla Joanna rematch. I think that this one is more doable for Carla Esparza and Rose, because I feel like Carla at this point, you know, could still give Rose some trouble, because I think between Joanna and Rose, I think Joanna, you know, she's a tall, long fighter, very slim, but she's a hell of a lot more durable. I think like physically she can take a lot of punishment. You know, she's like, you can kind of throw her around and she's there. You know, you can hit her in the head, she's there. You know, hit her a couple of times in the head, she's got this big dome, you know, like swelling up, but she's still there. You know, it's like a mixture of heart and just like durability going on with Joanna. But I feel like Rose is a more durable opponent, is more of an opponent that Carla could get into, that Carla could handle, because physically she's not as durable as Joanna. You know, Rose got more pop on her shots. But when you're talking like physical strength, I think Joanna is stronger than Rose. You know, that's just, I'm just being honest. So that's what that would make it more of a good style matchup. in a better top five fighter for Carla to get back closer to a title shot, you know, to get her back on that road. And Rose Namajunas, it would be a big mental builder for her to go back in there with another rematch against another opponent that stopped her. You know, imagine if you could get two of the fighters that beat you in a row. You know, what if you could beat both of those fighters in a row that beat you, you know, especially when they both stopped you. You could go back and show Carla this go around, you know, show her the evolution of Rose, you know, show her that you've grown as a fighter and possibly even stop her, you know. So I think there's a lot of reasons that this fight needs to happen at this point, and those are my top reasons. Again, you know, I just feel like it's a fight where they both need to show where they're at. Like, you know, Rose is like still here in the top five. She came down just a little bit, but now she came back up some. Carla's on that four fight winning streak here. She's right at that door, that top five, and you know, she's knocking. She needs an opponent, you know. And second reason is because everybody else is out. You know, Tatiana's out. Jessica Andrade's fighting 125. Nyana Azarov is out. So that's the one elite fight that she can get. And what better, like I said, what better way to do that than now, man? You know? So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that, though. Let me know in the comment section what y'all think. You know, there's a lot of good reasons that the fight needs to happen. Just close the year out with a good, active fight that still makes sense for the two of them. And then kind of start the year off big with the Whaley Zone Rose Namajunas championship fight. But yeah, man, that's all I got on that topic though, man. Again, let me know what y'all think. I was just kind of freestyling off the dome with that because it's a fight that's just been kind of swimming in my head, but I kind of go back and do a separate video on it and give you my reasons a little bit more clear on why it should happen if you didn't understand any of that. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this episode, y'all. Yeah, definitely go back and check out the Invicta FC 41 card. It was good, very solid card. I'm looking forward to this JoJo Jennifer Maia fight tomorrow, just so she can, you know, shut up all the critics for her taking this fight. I hope she wins in dominant fashion so she can say, hey, I'm just taking this fight to stay active. Now I can move on to fight the bullet from here, you know, because I don't think she's ducking the bullet. You know, she just wants the money and to stay active. And, yeah, let me know what y'all think of Pollyanna Batello and Jillian Robertson, that fight. Let me know what y'all think of Jessica Andrade, Jessica I. And, yeah, my last topic. Let me know what y'all think, Rose Namajunas versus Carla Esparza. But, yeah, make sure y'all follow me on Instagram at ComboBreaker99 and at AllBox and everything. And subscribe here to my channel. And subscribe to the Jab Effect YouTube channel as well. I post all that there, man. But, yeah, thanks again, man, to the new subscribers. You know, I posted last night's show on, like, a live stream. And, you know, shout out to Derek Bailey and George Page and Marcus Bell for coming through and just chatting. You know, I wasn't actually live, but just coming through. I was still, like, in the chat, though. So if y'all do that again, man, that's cool. But, yeah, I'm probably gonna do the same with this episode. But, yeah, man, again, thanks for my new subscribers. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out, y'all. Peace.